Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. Mike, Bo, and Allie live out here at Falcons training camp here in Flowery Branch. We're pleased to be welcomed by Falcons safety superstar, Mr. Jesse Bates. Look, man, it's about a week into this thing. Do you miss offseason yet? Did you have a fun offseason, or is it one of those things where you're like, hey, I'm happy to be back on the grind?
Yeah, had a great offseason. You know, all the time that we spend away from our families, it's nice to be able to, you know, spend some quality time with them with that time off. But at the same time, we're ready to, you know, get back. Yeah. Get back to a routine instead of, you know, going to work out and then having to go make your own breakfast or figure out what you want. You got it all here. It's a one-stop shop here, and just excited to be around the guys again.
We had a chance to talk to Caden Ellis a couple days ago, and he was telling me that he actually goes home every night, puts his kids to sleep. Now, are you one of those people that gets to camp and you just kind of lock it down and you're locked away, or do you try to step outside of the facility every couple days?
Yeah, I try to do a little bit of both. You know, when we got back-to-back practices, you know, I tell my lady, I'm like, hey, I will not be home tonight. but when we have, you know, a practice and then we have a jog through the following day where we can, you know, sleep in for another hour, I try to get back and, you know, try to put baby boy to sleep and eat some dinner with the family and just spend some quality time with them as well.
Jesse, we're a week in now to training camp. How do you feel the defense is shaping up day one versus today?
Yeah, I mean, we got a hell of a leader in Coach Brick. He sets the tone every meeting, every practice. When you got a guy like that that's played linebacker in this league, it's kind of easy to get behind him and get the ball rolling. So, very excited for what we're starting.
Jesse, when you're out there, when you know, going through the defense, you have a job to do, and you're also balancing your technique. But how hard is it to balance your technique? And then when you see the instinct of making a play, we've seen you instinctually just go make plays here the first 2 years. How hard is that to kind of balance that out?
Yeah, you just got to understand the playbook. I think there's times where you can be aggressive, and then there's times where, all right, you got to protect some guys. And just having that full understanding of not just of what you're doing, but what the whole defense is, it creates those opportunities where you can go jump, you know, some plays and understand what we're trying to show. And like I said, it's just opportunities that you got to understand when it's time to be aggressive and when it's time to be that protector as a safety.
Listen, that's spoken like a true safety, Jesse Bates, talking about sometimes you got to protect people. You know what I mean? Sometimes the guys in front of you might need a little help over the top. Falcon safety Jesse Bates hanging out with us here on the morning shift live here in Flowery Branch. Well, let's talk about that as well, because you're in year three here with the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, you spent the last few years, as long as you can probably remember, of having different defense coordinators every year playing different schemes. How do you feel like so far that you really fit in with what Jeff Ulbrich wants to get accomplished defensively? We've talked about attacking style defensive fronts in our conversation with Caden on Tuesday. He was like, hey, man, it's just about kind of understanding the broader picture. You have even a bigger picture. I mean, you're the kind of the center fielder back there and understand what kind of Brick's asking of everybody.
Yeah. You know, the first thing you talk about is what are we showing? What are we trying to disguise and show the quarterback? And then what are we actually playing? And, you know, sometimes when you're showing a disguise, you know, it triggers the offense to get into a check. So understanding what those checks are and what we're getting when we're showing certain defenses, I think that's very important when you're talking about playing a high-level type of defense.
I love that. I saw the double A gap mugs today, forced Penix to get out of it. And, of course, then Caden's bail, and I'm like, oh, man, they got you. They got you.
Jesse, you were mic'd up the other day. You have a moment with Kobe Bryant that's kind of out there. He's obviously a young player, undrafted, trying to make the team. Is it to the point where players just gravitate towards you, knowing for what you are as a leader and a guy that is always doing film study and that kind of stuff? Or do you still seek younger players out to be that mentor type?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, every practice, I tend to just sit there and kind of process what just happened. And, you know, those young guys, they sit out there with me. They're like, huh, hold on, what's Jesse doing just sitting out here? And then we have conversations. You know, what did you get today? You know, what did you not do right today? Those type of questions, those type of, you know, getting those type of answers help you out as a player in the long run. And like I said, I've been that young guy before. And I was always around, you know, Vontaze Burfict and those type of guys. That was very rough and just try to get around them and just understand what's the good stuff I can learn from them, what's the stuff that I don't want to do. And I think that's the similar things that, you know, when you're having conversations with young players, you just try to give them the sauce. You try to give them what you've experienced, good and bad, and hopefully they can learn from it.
Jesse Bates here on the morning shift. This league is different these days with some of the things you can and can't do. The tackling has been something that in some people suffers. As a guy that has that's a lot of your job, I feel like, is open field tackling, right? You know, as a safety, how hard is it to stay really sharp with your tackling techniques?
Yeah, I think Rod does a good job of, you know, talking about protecting our team when we're talking about tackling and all that good stuff. But, you know, as a player, you talk about punch outs and just getting your body, getting that muscle memory, how to tackle, how to get in that position to make, you know, a good open field tackle. I think we ain't got no better back to go against than Bijan Robinson and those guys over there when you're talking about open field tackle. But, yeah, it is hard. It's hard to simulate the whole game speed, but as a safety and being a guy that's been in this league, you got to be able to learn how to practice. And that's one of the biggest things that I've preached to some of the younger guys as well.
We are joined by Jesse Bates live from Falcons training camp up in Flowery Branch on the morning shift. Jesse, who are you rooming with out here?
Yeah, we got a nice safeties group. You know, Jordan Fuller, DeMarco Helms, and then Xavier Watts as well. So we got a smart group. We ain't got too many head cases in there. It's usually pretty calm, you know, guys. You know, say what's up to each other, but you guys are usually in their books and, you know, getting to bed pretty early, honestly.
So when you guys wrap up, you're just going to bed watching film?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, like I said, when we got that jog through the following day, some of the guys go home. And but, yeah, we have dialogue throughout the, you know, our room. And like I said, there's just a lot of different personalities in that safety room compared to a wide receiver room that's maybe loud, and you know, corners room that's pretty loud probably as well. So yeah, safeties are pretty, you know, reserved, and we have conversations, but at the same time, guys are, you know, locked in.
Yeah, we'll finish up with that. Obviously finishing up here with Jesse Bates, Falcon safety. We talked, or we heard from Raheem Morris yesterday, the day before, about kind of the identity of this team, and talked about some of the leadership traits. I know Michael Penix has talked about it well, leadership traits. I mean, what do you feel like the locker room is right now, kind of compared to previous couple of years? And I know Raheem brings that kind of energy, but I mean, I want to hear, like, deeper into it. Like, who's on the aux cord? Who's the loud one? Who's the one playing the music? Who's the one kind of, you know, that's talkative in the morning? Who's the ones that are quiet in the morning?
Yeah, you know, that varies. You know, every day can be different. You know, it may be me on the aux cord one day, it may be James Pierce on the aux cord another day. Those rookies, man, they got a lot of personality, and you know, as long as they're getting off the edge and they're rushing that path, they can do whatever the heck they want to. But yeah, I mean, everybody's installing plays, you know, offense and defense. I think what separates, you know, teams is our style. How are we creating that style of play out here every day on the practice field? And everybody can talk about it right now. Everybody wants to make it to the Super Bowl, but it's all about what you're doing day in and day out. And I think that's what we have a great understanding of as a whole team.
Jesse, we appreciate it, man. That's Falcon safety Jesse Bates joining us here on the morning shift live from Flowery Branch.
And that was so awesome of Jesse Bates to hang out with us yesterday after practice. It was hot, like brutal hot. So he didn't have to answer for as long as he did, but he did. Obviously, you guys were shocked by the aux comment. Was there anything else that stuck out to you?
I was dumbfounded by the aux comment.
Yeah.
I mean, in anybody that's been in any locker room where they play music, you just never let the new guy play the music.
Right.
In any football locker room, period, college, NFL, and even high school, I've never seen a freshman or a rookie be the one in charge of playing music at any point, much less a week in a training camp. So for him to make that comment, Bo kind of brings it up. It's like so endearing to hear for a lot of people because, you know, I think we all are like, man, the sack numbers need to come up. Pass rush needs to come up. And for him to say, man, I don't care what he does as long as he's rushing the passer, I thought that was really, really cool. But when he said that he's on the aux sometimes and James Pierce is on that, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like you could hear me audibly in the background of that go, a rookie on the aux cord.
Yeah.
Wow. You just don't see that.
And he apparently, after he left us, he came to us, did an interview with us, and he did the podium. And after when he went to the podium, he apparently talked about it again. James Pierce on the aux, and Randy yesterday did a really good job. Like, yeah, that don't happen. And he was like, crazy. What's that mean? And he's like, rookies don't play music. And Randy was like, nah, man, you got to earn that. It was funny. Randy explained it. It made me laugh because he's like, I did it, though. And I was like, and he was talking about how you just got to, how you act, and you can earn that respect right off the bat from your veteran teammates. Again, a lot of people crapped on that James Pierce pick. A lot of people. Nationally, fans, local. it so far, a week in, it feels like all those feelings have gone, right? And it feels good. Because when you hear Jesse Bates talk about James Pierce like that, who are these teammates at Tennessee that had a problem with him then? Because that's a veteran leader. That's a 7-year veteran in the NFL who has no damn problem with him.
Yeah, well.
Early.
But yeah, I was going to say, still very, very early in that. That's not going to be, you know, that's not going to be something that you talk about until way later down the road. But I think there have been problems with Tennessee's locker room as well ever since last year. So I don't know. And Allie, to answer your earlier question about did anything else kind of, you know, catch my eye or my ear during that interview, when he says who his roommates are.
Yeah.
And the fact that Xavier Watts is included in that group of three other veteran safeties that's crazy too. Usually the rookies will room with other rookies. Not always. Like, that's not as crazy to me as the aux thing, but a lot of times, I would say 80% of the time, rookies room with other rookies. I would not have been shocked if they would have said Xavier Watts is rooming with Billy Bowman and some of the other guys back there in the secondary, maybe some guys that were just a little bit older, because they're going through a lot of the same things. Their workouts are a lot of the same times, things like that. Rookies usually work out with other rookies. So to hear him say that Xavier Watts is included in a room with him, to have a rookie safety, you know, what, third-round draft pick, fourth-round draft pick, included in a group with a guy who is a seventh-year player and an all-pro, just not something you see that often. I can't imagine had we gone out and, you know, drafted a tight end at some point and put him in a room with Tony Gonzalez. It's just not something you see.
I think it's good, though, because that's who you want. Like, that's who. But Jesse's you heard his answer about Kobe Bryant and how he will talk to those players and make sure they're doing the right thing. That's what I want. I want Jesse Bates in there with him, even if it's just at Xavier Watts noticing how he handles his business there, right, in camp. And how he treats other, like, I want a guy that I drafted in the third round who is the future, who I hope is the future. Or let's throw that out. No hope. Who I draft to be the future of the other safety spot, to see how, to me, one of the two to three best safeties in the league handles everything, including his training camp off the field business.
Well, and I think the difference between these two conversations is the aux cord in the locker room is something the players handle.
Mm-hmm.
That lineup, as far as who you're rooming with, is something usually goes to the coaches or the front office or whatever else it may be. So it's not like Jesse was like, hey, put Xavier. He could have had that conversation with Raheem. But I think it just speaks to how everybody around the building views Xavier Watts and Jordan Fuller and DeMarco Helms of, like, this is our group. And obviously they signed a safety yesterday in Henry Black right before practice, and he was out there. But it's just interesting to see some of the inner workings and dynamics being out there in Flowery Branch every day.
Hey, quick question, because he mentioned, you know, he went from having to cook his own food to everything's kind of laid out for him. Was the food better when you went to training camp where you're like, oh, upgrade? Or is it, like, very strict?
No, it was a lot better.
Okay.
It was pick your poison. You know what I mean? There was, like, a buffet line, but there was also, like, the chef in the corner that was like, I got whatever omelet you need. You know what I mean? There's a smoothie machine over there. Like, yeah, you can get whatever you need for sure.
Sounds so good.
I know.
All right, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res. Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service coming up. We're going to go in the huddle, talk about the Hall of Fame game and John Harbaugh's comments around Lamar Jackson. That's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike Bowe. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass on this Friday, as Dylan likes to say.
This got Madden soundtrack vibes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm serious. What? You know, you're not aware of the Madden soundtracks?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Little Sum 41.
I'm sorry, music I don't like play this. Video games.
Yeah.
This is...
Don't tell me there's none in your house. Cause, you
know, there are none.
This is Foo Fighters.
Huh?
This song is Foo Fighters.
I know it. I'm just saying the Madden soundtrack was always like, you know, like songs like this, songs like Fat Lip and like things like that.
Did you hear Dale Jr. got to pick the NASCAR game soundtrack? Like, he was a big part. Well, actually, Ryan Blaney and Bubba Wallace were huge in the picking of the NASCAR new game, the new NASCAR video game.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack, they were, but Dale Jr. has been doing a lot about it lately on his like podcast and Twitter and stuff.
Well, and he's a guy that used to play the older, like, EA Sports NASCAR video games and wanted a lot of that music included, too, I saw. So they contacted a couple of those bands from 20-plus years ago. That's really, really neat.
You think iRacing needs music? That would make I think it would cheapen it up though.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones that are doing the new video game, and if you want to play that, then play the video game.
Isn't there an argument that it's simulator versus video game?
Yeah. Because iRacing, what is the simulator that we use? They have bought the rights to the video game on the Xbox and PlayStation, and now they are in the next month or two, they're producing their first video game. So yeah, if you want to do the iRacing video game, go buy the video game.
How about the high up in EA Sports that came up to us the other day at camp?
Oh yeah, UT, is that what?
I'm bad with names, so don't put me on the spot there, please. But he came up and was like, "Hey, morning shift." I was like, "That's right."
Then
he said, "Squid Nation for life."
I don't think that happened.
I don't even remember you being there.
As a matter of fact, Allie, it's been kind of a bad training camp for Squid Nation.
It has.
It's been rough. You got called out from the hill yesterday multiple times.
First off, I don't. The hecklers can miss me. You can heckle me from the hill all you want.
I'm just saying, man.
Also, we secured Miss Pearl for life, we're good. I mean, that's all we need, dude.
Okay.
I mean, she does weigh a ton in the value of listeners when it comes to Squid Nation versus Mike's Mafia.
For life.
However, yesterday I only heard Mike's Mafia from the Hill.
A lot of times.
From fans coming in, and then I got yelled at for not seeing Rocky. Like, that's what happened.
you caught strays on air on Twitter about that, too.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere.
The funny thing is, you know, you have your own faction, and you're in the crosshairs of Mike's Mafia. I could see, you know, Squid Nation for life, you know, and we could. I'm not saying join, but we could have your back a little bit, have an alliance, so to speak, you know. So when Mike's Mafia starts coming to you, we'll fire back.
You don't want an ally in Squid Nation.
I don't know what favors I would have.
I'll tell you is Squid Nation's not coming for you, Mike's Mafia. Just remember that.
It's like being aligned with the cartel. Like at some point you're gonna have to you're gonna have to pay back.
I feel like we just stepped into an episode of Survivor a little bit when they start making alliances and stuff like that, trying to get another person out.
Man.
Love it.
Big Brother's in season right now. It's so good. All right, let's go in the huddle. So Trey Lance led the Chargers to win over the Lions last night in the Hall of Fame game. Did you guys catch this?
I did. I caught a pretty good bit of the first half and a little bit of the second half. Man, I was very impressed with Trey Lance. And that's been a guy who obviously has had his ups and downs. He's caught a couple of strays along the way, not for really from his own doing most of the time, but from some of the questions about where he's been and what he's been able to do. But I tell you guys, man, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers looked pretty freaking good last night. And I know that it's all backups playing a Hall of Fame game, but there was a certain tenacity they were bringing to the table against one of the toughest teams and toughest head coaches in the NFL and the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell. I thought Trey Lance was very smooth in his operation yesterday.
He's a guy that's barely played it since high school. He barely played it. Was it North Dakota State, I believe? And then he didn't really play in San Francisco. Injuries helped keep him off field. And then Brock Purdy's emergence, and then goes to Dallas and didn't play much there behind. Remember? Cause last year it was the other guy. And so I'm not going to overreact to him playing against, third string preseason players. Not a knock. I'm not knocking those players. I'm just saying that there's a lot. It's a lot dumbed down as far as they're not game planning against him.
I agree.
And he's not playing top tier guys.
Yeah.
That said, he needs to develop, and it clearly shows he's trying and he's developing. So, you never know what. I mean, he's still a young guy. How young Kyle Pitts is. I mean, he's still a young guy.
Who's there? Is it Greg Roman? I think is the OC out for the LA Chargers. And I thought that the way they were putting the offense in with some of the split back sets and things like that out of the pistol and motioning, it's very early on for that. But on the flip side, they were getting blitzed and he was being asked to recognize certain things. He threw a slant, a little quick slant on a touchdown pass inside the red zone. I just thought overall, and because I agree with you, what he's going up against, not great. But from overall, just the things that you haven't seen from him, touch passes and things like that, I thought he was crisp.
This is his fifth year in the league. So I would hope being around guys like Dak and even Brock and Kyle Shanahan, you know, Mike McCarthy, He's been around these guys. I'd hope that maybe he's learned.
Is he not in Green Bay at some point?
No. He went from San Francisco. He was traded to Dallas. And then he was let go. I mean, he just became a free agent because they didn't do his fifth year.
You know what that game really meant yesterday? I heard Carl say this yesterday at training camp. He goes, hey, we got football tonight. We got football.
You ready for football?
No, I'm with you.
All right. So John Harbaugh called Lamar Jackson a historically great passer.
I think from a football standpoint, just go to the most basic, simple thing. Lamar is a passer.
Yeah.
He is a historically good passer. And that's really quite a statement because of the narrative that's been surrounding him ever since the beginning. Lamar Jackson can throw the football. He can throw it every kind of way. You can make every kind of throw any kind of way you want. He's as good as any guy, any passer that has ever been. And I think now the numbers are proving that. So that's the thing I'm kind of a little bit proud of, but also a little bit like, okay, here we go. What have we learned from that? You know, you can take even big picture. You can say from a society standpoint, football standpoint, what do we learn from that? What kind of questions do we ask ourselves? But Lamar Jackson as a passer is historically great.
He's thrown for more than 3,000 yards three times in, 7 years and 4,000 once, but he's a 65% completion percentage guy. Last year, if you want to get down to it, though, he did have an historical passing year, 41 touchdowns and 4 picks. He doesn't throw a lot of picks, really. He's only thrown over 10 picks once in his career. That was in 21. I would stop short of historical because I think that word means something different to me. But there is no bones about he is extremely good in the pocket, and I think the threat of him moving, you know, helps at times, and how good he is on the run throwing. But yeah, I mean, he's a great, like, who's doubting Lamar? Is anyone? This was said in a way, and I don't know the context of how it was asked, but it was said in a way almost like there was a doubt of what he could do. Is anyone still doubting Lamar Jackson as a quarterback? Winning the big one may be different, but is anyone as a quarterback? I don't think so.
No, but what I heard in his voice was, let's not doubt people like Lamar Jackson. And I think that there is something to be said to that. And he is incredible. It's one of those answers, Allie, where I hear John Harbaugh say that and I go, I'm glad you think that. And it's not that I disagree with him. Mm-hmm. It's just that before I dive even further in, I'm looking at John going, good for you, man. Like, that's your quarterback. I'm glad you think that. And that's as far as I need to take it.
Do you stop and think, why are we having this conversation? Like, why is this a question?
No,
I've
seen enough pressers and interviews with John Harbaugh to know that he gets asked ridiculous questions all the time, and it could be that.
I just sit here and say, if we're talking about Lamar Jackson as a quarterback after 7 years in the league, two MVPs, I think he's never had a losing record. The guy's 70-24 as a quarterback. He's got obviously he's got good talent around him too. But like, I just don't understand why we're talking about this. I don't think John Harbaugh needs to be sitting here defending Lamar Jackson and what a pass how he is as a passing quarterback. I think just if we're doing
the question probably was, do you think there's still questions about Lamar Jackson as a passer?
Yeah,
and it's like, I'm good.
Just, you know what? You were right the first time. He was asked by probably some guy from a blog who only shows up for training camp asking stupid questions.
There you go.
And the Bengals have added ex-Seahawks tight end Noah Fant.
It makes sense.
I would have liked to have seen him here.
Might have been great. You're already paying your tight end room pretty good chunk of change this season, so that's going to happen. But
maybe next year.
If I was him, Noah Fant, that's where I'd go. That's exactly where I'd go. I'd go somewhere with a top five quarterback like that and a good passing attack. Makes sense for me.
Hey, and coming up, Kirby Smart kicked off camp yesterday at Georgia. We've got some audio from that we're going to play for you. And we've got Fair or Foul on the way. Fair or Foul wearing a hoodie at Falcons training camp is completely normal. When it feels like it's 102 degrees outside. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And
the Odyssey app.
There were a lot of people there in hoodies yesterday.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan, keeping things on track. Behind the board for us today, it is 7:41. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We will get to mic'd up today. It is Fair or Foul Friday. Some shots may be fired.
Love it. Love it. Speaking of firing shots, Dylan, you've heard this song, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I've definitely heard the song.
Outside of you just playing it as bumper music,
yes.
Right? Okay.
I just like.
I'm just making sure.
Again, I couldn't tell you really the lyrics besides the little chorus, but.
And most people just sing just just sing a bunch of crap anyway. It's the first of the month.
It's the first of the month.
And then everything else is. Nobody even knows.
Well, it's, you know, you
nobody
say,
knows what it
get
means.
Up,
it's
get
provocative.
Up, get up, cash your checks, and come on. And then they go into the fast stuff. They were fast. They were like, at one point in time, they were the fastest rappers in the world.
Yeah. You remember when Twista came along?
Yeah.
Twista. Oh, Twista was
crazy.
It's
crazy.
Twista and then what's obviously the, Eminem too.
I was going to say, Eminem did the song like 5 or 6 years ago that was the, was it?
Oh, what was that? Oh, now it's going to bug me because I know exactly what you're talking about.
Is it
where he's like, no, someone,
yeah.
This, oh, I got to look that up now because that's going to bug me.
This Bone album, this Bone Thugs and Harmony album, the Eternal 1999, I think it was what it's called. It's one of the greatest rap albums of all time.
We did 99 songs, I think, and I had a Bone Thugs song on the Top 5 Tuesday one time.
It was Rap God, by the way, the Eminem song we're talking about.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, this album's phenomenal. This is every song on here, you put the whole album through.
I wish we could
skips.
Play Rap God on here, but that's none of his music is radio friendly.
Unless it's already in wide orbit, because then I know it's radio friendly, then that would be a no.
That was my, Allie, was it you that was talking about this? That was my only cameo in Happy Gilmore 2 that I was like, could have done without. Was
Eminem.
Eminem. Yeah, well, it was fine, but he just went too long. Are we spoiling that, by the way?
No. I don't think anybody knows. Nobody knows what his cameo is.
I just felt like Eminem, the character.
I saw it on Twitter before I even saw it anyways.
It just felt like the character Eminem was playing, he had not watched the original Happy Gilmore to get like the tone of it. He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't understand
it. I agree. I tend to agree, which is weird.
You know how I was kind of poking at Allie about Nick Carter and the Backstreet Boys the other day? My wife's version of that is Marshall Mathers.
Really?
Yes. Like to a very heavy extent.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm like, what did you see in me that looked comparable?
Lindsay's a big Eminem fan?
Massive.
Really?
Massive.
I would have never pegged Lindsay as an Eminem fan.
Massive.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, dude, you're a suburban mom driving a Tahoe. She's probably listening as we speak.
I bet she likes MGK, like, too. There's something about a guy with bleached hair.
No. She definitely does not like MGK.
Nah, she ain't going to like, if she likes Eminem, she definitely ain't going to like MGK because MGK dissed Eminem.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they had a
little back and forth.
Yeah, anyways.
Well,
all
right.
It's like Brent Key and Kirby Smart. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Kirby Smart, way to do that for me. So he had his first presser because camp kicked off yesterday. But hey, the steakhouse is out in Athens today, aren't they?
Not only are they out in Athens, but they are going to have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Kirby Smart, on after practice today. A couple of players as well.
Josh Brooks, I think Mike Bobo.
KJ Bolden,
some players. Not only, but it's not just the steakhouse. It's like the entirety of the steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
every
it's not
person.
Just
it's
not
the
just
front
Steak
house
and Rusty or Steak and Sandra or Steak and Drew or, you know, when Steak's on a, you know, month hiatus and, you know, and touring the world and it's like Drew and Sandra. It's Steak, Rusty, Drew, and Sandra all there together with our boy G Money, Gordon Robinson Engineering, and then they'll have Kirby stopped by. They'll have Josh Brooks, the AD, stopped by. They'll have, I think, Mike Bobo's there. So everybody's there.
My wife blowing up my phone now. Absolutely not on MGK. Hard no. Hard pass.
Did
and
you?
Yes, I'm
sorry,
listening.
Sorry, Lindsay. Sorry.
Was she listening yesterday at any point?
I hope not. She's got her hands full with the kids. Just go. You're all right. You don't need to listen to yesterday. You don't need to.
We'll definitely check out the steakhouse after we finish up today because it's going to be a big show out in Athens. But speaking of Kirby, you know, he's going into year 10. So he was talking yesterday about keeping the message fresh.
Well, the message is fresh because it's a new team. And, you know, when you have a new team, you have new ears and you got new guys. I mean, we talked about it before. I think we've got 40 or 50 guys right around maybe just completely new first or second year. So I don't think you have to worry about your message staying fresh when you have the turnover you have, but you got to keep your message fresh based on what's changing in college football and offensively and defensively, schemes, things people are doing outside of it, and just the demands you have. So our coaches do a great job of changing things up, and I'll do the same with our guys.
Yeah, I just can't give enough credit to Kirby Smart because, look, you know, I think to a lesser extent, we used to talk about Nick Saban where it's like, man, you know, he's dealing with these offensive changes or these rule changes and things like that. What Nick Saban dealt with over the course of his career at Alabama has been nothing compared to what Kirby Smart's dealt with over the last 10 years in terms of the way college football has changed. It's insane.
And for him to still keep that same fire. I mean, we've seen guys like, let's just call it Gus Malzahn, Chip Kelly, guys like that, that have completely bowed out of head coaching because of the changes that have happened in college football. But Kirby always keeps his eye on the ball and is like talking about the on-field challenges and things like that. You got to love that answer kind of rolling off his tongue, because it's always about the players, always about the program, and it's always about keeping his focus in the right spot.
Kirby is just – it's going to sound funny. He's like he's on autopilot with these answers. And what I mean is like he – or it's like a ChatGPT answer. Like he knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly the tone to say it, and he knows how to handle it. Like these press conferences, he's so impressive in. Saban would always Saban would have like a once a year blow up where he would lose his mind. He would yell at a Coke bottle or talk about rat poison, which apparently Kyle Pitts has now adopted that saying. He just like would do all these like, but Kirby never has that moment. Never. He never goes off script. I'm actually impressed by it.
Like it is. It's awesome.
I mean, and I don't mean it in a negative
way. Slight
amount
of jealousy, I mean, to be honest.
But it's impressive, and everything he said's right, and more than ever. Yeah, it's you know why the message doesn't get sell? Because how many players do they have? 85 scholarship. Well, I guess now that's changing, but it was 85 and like 115 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe is it fair to say that 55 are brand new?
I think it's more than that.
Yeah. So that because of NIL, transfer mm-hmm. portal, everything's flipping over. You lose players anyways as they age out. And so he's dead on with his answer that brand new team. I mean, and the guys that are still here, they want to be here. They're bought into that message. So no, it's not getting stale with them.
Yeah, that'll be so exciting to hear him jump on with the Steakhouse later on today, man. It is a Georgia packed show. For the Steakhouse down there in Athens at Grindhouse. But for right now, let's go ahead and hit this. As a reminder before Miss Allie jumps off with Fair Foul Friday, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Can we get family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations? Go ahead.
All right. It is Fair or Foul Friday, so you guys will debate these questions, these statements. Fair or foul? The Braves didn't do enough at the trade deadline. Mike, you're up first.
A good time to remind you we have Grant McCall at 8:20 today. No, fair, and I know that we have different ways of thinking about this, but I'm going to say fair. There's just you didn't get a return on anything, and right now your roster looks pretty much exactly like it did this year.
That's so false. They got Jim Jarvis, man.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, so they got Nacho Alvarez 2.0, so that's cool.
Can't forget about Tyler Kinley either.
No. Yeah, he pitched last night, threw an inning.
That's right. That's right.
So did Dunning. Well, he didn't throw an inning because it was 0.0 innings because he didn't get an out, but he gave up 5 earned. So
And how can we forget about Carlos Carrasco's performance?
Well, hold on. That's
a good point. I mean, he actually did pitch well.
He gave you a quality start. Yeah. Let me tell you something.
But is Carlos Carrasco going to be part of your rotation?
Yeah,
next year?
He's going to be Jesse Chavez 2.0.
Yeah, he's not going to be part of your rotation. That's my thing.
38-year-old guy that can come in and throw you 6 innings off the.
All right, man. No, I'm going to say it's fair. They didn't do enough.
Okay.
Yes, it's fair, but to that point, it's also foul, because I don't know what they were supposed to do. I understand the sentiment to move on from a couple of guys in a salary dump. However, you can't force people to give you something for nothing, and that's what they would have been doing. That's what they were asking. I don't know what Alex is. I heard some of his stuff. I didn't hear all of it, but I don't know what he was offered. But I mean, you're not just there's the salary dump doesn't work for the Braves. They're expiring contracts. There's no salary cap. It's not like with the Falcons right now, Mike and Allie, if they were to trade somebody at the trade deadline that had like $8 million left on their contract, there would be $8 million that they could roll over next year. That ain't the case here.
Okay, fair or foul? Bo, I'm going to let you handle this one first so you can defend yourself. Wearing a hoodie at Falcons training camp when the feels like temp is 102.
Here it comes. It was a pullover.
Completely normal.
It was a t-shirt hoodie pullover. very thin. And there is a method to the madness. You get a good lather up, and then when there is a breeze that is at Flowery Branch where it's located, and it's a cooling process. However, the only problem with that was for some reason I couldn't sweat yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I think I might have been dehydrated at camp.
You're a vampire.
Allie, let's just give him credit that he hasn't pulled the hood over his ears in the last couple weeks.
Let's just
I'm gonna put a whiteboard in here. 0 days since Bo put his hood up and was upset about something.
That doesn't always mean I'm upset. Sometimes it's chilly in here and I do that.
Right. Yeah. Same.
And it's 77 degrees, Dylan. So you might want to look at that air. It feels like somebody broke it again.
All right, fair or foul, we talked yesterday about how it's not cool to ask someone if they're on Ozempic. Is it fair or foul to ask someone their age? Mike?
Oh, I've never asked you your age.
No.
Okay, I thought that felt targeted. No. I was like, no.
No, I did work for a company, though, that would shoot out the contact list, and it would have years on it. I was like, whoa, calm down there.
I'm going to split this one. Fair for guys, not fair for girls. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have any bones about asking Bo how old he is.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I've done it on this show on his birthday.
When you didn't acknowledge that it was my birthday.
Asking him about his birthday. What are you, 42 now? Yeah, happy birthday.
You did not
follow up with happy birthday. I am going to say that I live in 2025, and I'm all for equal everything. And so, yeah, you can ask anybody their age if you want. I mean, I don't know why you can get offended.
I definitely thought you were going to say, no, you can't ask anybody their age.
You're normally very traditional when it comes to, like, you have to ask the dad for permission.
Well, I'm just going to go outside because, I mean, this really, we getting upset about age these days. I mean, why are you ashamed of your age? What does it matter? This doesn't mean you're being called old. Although someone did ask me your age this week, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. She's anywhere from, like, 30 to 40.
Yeah,
I was like,
I genuinely do not know.
I was, and then I followed up with, I know that she's more than a couple years younger than me, so I don't know. I played it so I am not going there.
You're only as old as you feel. So I'm 25. All right, fair or foul. Bo will travel to Berlin with the Falcons before Dylan can remove that duct tape from his bumper.
Yes, I love these weekly questions. That is 100% fair. Like, that game is coming up pretty soon. We're what, 2 months away from the Berlin game?
Dylan said it would be fixed in a month, though.
No,
last
I don't believe
week
him.
He said that.
I don't believe you. Don't believe you. I'm going to say it's fair. Bo's going to Germany way before we get the duct tape off of Dylan's car.
Yeah, I think I'm with Mike. Fair.
It's foul. It's going to be fixed.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways,
I'll prove it with my actions, not my words.
Do you have a date?
I don't have a date, but I just know it'll be fixed before then.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
Okay.
I'm getting too much heat.
All right. One last quick one. Genuinely, because I'm curious. Is it fair or foul to wear a jersey of a team that isn't even playing at the game you're attending? Like Savannah Bananas jerseys. They're always worn at Braves games.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so, man. There's no way this is a quick one for me. It's absolutely foul to wear a random team's jersey to, I don't know, say a Falcons-Lions game. It's so weird. It doesn't even make sense. You can wear throwbacks of players that don't play in a game. That's totally fine. But you can't wear, like, a Pirates jersey to a Braves-Dodgers game. That's just, why? Why would you even think that's cool?
Jersey foul? Maybe a polo, like with a little logo, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm all right with that. But I mean, the jersey, yes.
I think we've been very open with the fact that we're not like some people in radio and want to criticize people for wearing jerseys. That's not us, okay? We're pro BU. I just think it's weird if you wear a team that's not playing. Like, I used to show up to games and be like a Brett Favre Packers jersey, and it's like Falcon Saints, right? I mean, this is weird.
Yeah, it just makes you feel like, did you know where you were going? Did you know?
Yeah. Are you like trying to make some kind of stance? Like, are you protesting this game by showing up in another team's jersey and watching
it? What's going on?
Well, I am so curious to see when Dylan does actually fix his car. That is yet to be seen. Coming up next, though, it is the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. This is your chance to ask questions via Twitter, call in. Who controls the aux cord in your house and your car? Apparently, James Pierce Jr. is handling that at Falcons training camp. That's a big deal because he's a rookie. You can also air out your grievances when it comes to the trade deadline. Do the Braves do enough, in your opinion? 404 726-0929 or on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. We are taking your calls next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.